Good morning, my friends. Maybe I should also hit start. I'm so happy to be here, my friends, and I'm so happy to be a part of this Brené Brown spiritual excursion with everyone here. If you were here last week, you might have witnessed a literal temper tantrum at the altar. And that's because when Eric feels uncomfortable, Eric's inner child comes out and throws a temper tantrum. Why did I throw a temper tantrum last week? Who was here last week? Who might have? Oh, yeah, okay. Apologies. If you are here, then you are a part of our journey of experiencing what the importance of play and rest and letting go of exhaustion as a status symbol. That's not easy for me. Whether this is a good thing or not, I definitely cling to work. I'm the kind of person that if I don't cross something off of my to-do list, at the end of the day, I lose sleep over it. So that's something that I'm still working on. But I am happy to say that we've moved through that, and that today we're talking about cultivating meaningful work, letting go of self-doubt and this list of supposed tos. So meaningful. I think the word meaningful is really important here, because while Eric has always participated in work, Eric has not always participated in meaningful work. Again, if you're here last week, you might remember that I said I used to be a property manager. When I first moved here, I was a property manager for 5 years as I was pursuing acting. And I cannot tell you the number of conversations I had on the phone with my mom sobbing. And I thought I'd do a little reenactment for you. This is Eric Feltus as Eric Feltus. Are you ready?
Mom, Bob, I can't do it. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't understand. I'm in my mid-30s. I speak two languages. I have a master's, and yet I am stuck in a vacant apartment for the police to come because someone snuck in behind me and passed out in the closet. Why would they even want to be a closet anymore? It's 2022. And then I would ask the question every single time, what is my purpose and why am I on this planet? Has anyone else ever asked or cried to the heavens asking, why am I on this planet? What is my purpose in life? I've seen a few people relate. It's scary to know that you are stuck on this rock for a finite amount of time, aimlessly floating from one day to the next, crying on the phone to your mother asking, what is my purpose and why am I on this planet? It's scary. And so I think in order to get out of that funk, let's look at what meaningful work is, right? If our target is moving or if our target is fuzzy, we will not get a bullseye. But if we know what we are aiming towards, we just might see at least what direction to go in. So in The Gifts of Imperfection, Brené Brown shares some of her qualitative research with us. So let's just we're on the same page, let's look to see what meaningful work entails, according to the research. Okay, so this is some of the conclusions that we've come up with, right? We all have gifts and talents. Squandering those gifts and talents brings us distress. It's our bodies, it's God, it's the universe saying that's not right. You are not in alignment with your purpose. That's not saying you're bad. That is good data to know that we must recalibrate for the finite amount of time we're on Earth. Most who search for spiritual connection spend too much time looking up at the sky and wondering why God lives so far away. Hello, Sky Daddy. How many people do you know use Jesus as a weapon to avoid their accountability for their own lives because their own lives are too intolerable? Brené Brown says that blame is the discharge of pain. So instead of sitting with my discomfort, that I don't know why I'm on this planet, I'm gonna purge that pain onto other people by putting God in the sky, right? Using our gifts and talents to create meaningful work takes a tremendous amount of commitment, and no one can define what meaningful work is for us. If they could, I probably would not be up here speaking about this right now. There is so much gold here, and I would love to come back and do a whole sermon on this idea of Sky Daddy versus God. But right now, I want to focus a little more on commitment, committing to meaningful work. And so I actually want to look at some of our scripture today and see how we can utilize that idea of commitment with with our scripture. So let's just look at some pieces here. Brothers and sisters and beyond, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, worthy, think of these things. And summary, praise God all the time and all the time. Praise God all the time. Can you say it without a question mark? And all the time. Y'all are like, I hate when people make me talk back. I don't blame you. I don't like that either. Yeah, so it takes commitment, right? It takes commitment to aligning yourselves with whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy. Have a commitment to living in accordance with these things. My friends, what if this is meaningful work? Now, we know that God is the source of unconditional, radical, inclusive love. And we also know that God is in us and of us and not in the sky. And we also then know that meaningful work is godly praise. Now, I say this often. I think that we are vessels. A vessel is nothing more than an empty container. But what happens with empty containers? Sometimes there's clogs and kinks. And if there is a clog in this vessel, can God's love flow freely? If we are being held back by fear, by negative beliefs, by limiting beliefs, by what Brené Brown calls supposed tos, which we'll get to in a second, are we able to engage in meaningful work if we are not flowing freely? So one thing I said last week was the first step of my 10-week shame-free gay life program is noting the beliefs holding you back. So if you don't feel like you are engaged in meaningful work, let's note the beliefs that could potentially be holding you back. So I'm going to throw out potential ones, and if you're like, oof, that's me, just think about it. I'm not enough, right? I'm not good enough. I don't make enough money for that. I can't go back to school. I have kids. I can never do that. I'm a musician. I'll never be a full-time musician. I'm an artist. I will never sell my art. I'm not good enough. Supposed tos. You're supposed to care about making money, not meaning. You're supposed to grow up and be a blank, not a blank. Everyone's counting on it. You're supposed to hate your work. People brag about how much they hate their work. That's the definition of work. So do me a favor, pick one thought and give me a thumbs up when you're like, ooh, that rings true to me. I don't feel like I'm enough, or ooh, yeah, I don't think I make enough money, or I could never go back to school. Give me a thumbs up if you can think of one thought that you're like, ooh, I'm afraid to say that that's me. Stinks, doesn't it? It's awful. Growth is uncomfortable. That's why we don't do it, right? Growth is grief. Growth is letting go of the past, and that's hard. So you have your thought. I'm going to ask you some questions from Byron Katie. Just go through these in your head. Think about your thought. I'm not enough. I don't make enough money. I'll never be a full-time musician. Whatever it is, ask yourself, is it true? Can you say with 100% certainty that it's true? How do you treat yourself with that thought? Who are you with that thought? Who would you be without that thought? What's a more empowering thought that you might develop? These are questions when those kinks get into play and God's love is not flowing freely that you can ask yourself. So we have to get rid of this self-doubt in order to clarify our purpose. Y'all in the back are doing so great because I know I've gone off book like 9 times. But let's just look at the next slide. So Brené Brown says that overcoming self-doubt is all about believing we're enough and letting go of what the world says we're supposed to be and supposed to call ourselves. So first we note our doubt. Then we focus on the newly revised purpose that we are going to create today. Because who is anyone in the world to tell you what your purpose is but you and God? I almost started singing songs because I picked up the wrong page. Sorry, Gaddison. Y'all don't want to hear that. That's not my purpose. I did tell you last week that 95% of our thoughts come from the subconscious. So if 95% of your thoughts are unknown to you, do you think you're going to reach your purpose? Do you think you're going to have a clear purpose? So again, it starts by noting the self-doubt before we can remove it. Now, I want to think about this a little further and see how we can get to our purpose so that we can also cultivate meaningful work. So, y'all, let's look at a little bit of our scripture again here. This is from, um, this is, This is verse 6. So this is, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Dare to desire. Dare to desire. I think God can handle it, and I think that that's what God calls you to do. I look at this word prayer, and I think that prayer is such a unique experience, just like your relationship with God. You might choose to use words for prayer. You might dance. You might sing. You might write. So today, I'm going to invite you to get out of your comfort zones with me and write a little bit, okay? We are going to together construct your purpose statements. Now that we've noted the thoughts that are holding us back, as a community, we're going to come up with our purpose statements. My purpose statement, my purpose in life is that through creativity, courage, and authenticity, I cultivate connection and I tell stories in order to help others love themselves and the world around them. So everything that I do for my business, for my careers, is through this purpose statement. So, are y'all down for this? Are you cool with this? Raise your hand if you've ever done a purpose statement yourself. Okay, raise your hand if you've never done this before. Raise your hand if you cannot wait for Eric to stop talking. You're like, I didn't ask for this. What are they gonna do, fire me? It's my last time speaking. Okay, so let's look at the next slide. We're gonna do this together. There are 4 steps in creating your purpose statement. I'm gonna invite you to take this note card. We do have larger note cards than before because we're embracing messy action. We don't have to be perfect. We won't be perfect. Let's get it wrong so that we can get it right. The answers are inside of you. If you believe that you have a purpose and you haven't clarified it, it's not that the target's not there. It's that the target is not clear. So step number 1, I invite you to just jot down some unique qualities that describe you. What do people say about you? Here's a little trick. Oftentimes what people put in your high school yearbook has not changed. Some of you are like, don't look at my high school yearbook then. So write down a couple of adjectives that describe who you are. And we're going to go on to step 2, and we're going to have time to revisit these. So we've written down a couple of adjectives that describe us. How do you enjoy expressing those qualities? I got this 4-step process from High Impact Coaching, and this is one of my favorite things that I do with my clients. I love helping people find their purpose. What do you enjoy doing? Do you sing? Do you tell stories? Do you play a musical instrument? Do you care for others? Do you fight for justice? Do you preach? Do you host parties? There's no wrong answer. If you enjoy doing it, it is right. So we have some adjectives that describe who we are, right? And we have some activities that describe what we like to do. In order to what? What am I going to do with these characteristics and with these actions? Let's look at step number 3. Assume the world is perfect. What does it look like? There's no crime. Everyone chooses love. We take care of the environment. World peace. Do you see where we're going with this? Through these specific adjectives, I do this in order to create a world that looks like this. By using my authenticity and creativity, I perform and sing and cultivate connection in order to what? Inspire others, right? So as we put it all together, I'm going to walk around, and Brandon is here with me. Brandon has done this. He's an expert at this as well. Everyone say, hi, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
We won't take long with this, but we're going to walk around for maybe 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and see if anyone needs help. So let's look at step number 4. This is just putting it all together. So my purpose is to use my blank, blank, and blank. You can do 1, 2, or 3. In order to what? To express yourself, in order to dance, to sing, to teach, to preach, because I want the world to look like this. Is Evan, hey, Evan! That's okay. You can sing in your heads. It's okay. And if anyone, wants help, go ahead. You can raise your hand. We'll walk around. I invite you to note the thoughts that are coming up for you. Oh my gosh, this makes me feel uncomfortable. Good. Good. That means you're growing. Discomfort is data that you're growing. I think oftentimes in Christian households, we believe that discomfort means you're bad. Raise your hand if you've ever felt like, I'm bad because I don't feel good. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Is it that you're bad or is that you've been programmed to believe that you're bad for wanting? And when you're done, can you show me that you're done by putting your hand on your heart? And I'm going to tell you why. Every single time that I speak, before I get up in front of people, I put my hands on my heart, I feel my heartbeat, and I remind myself why I am alive. I remind myself that I've been gifted with creativity and courage and authenticity in order to tell stories, in order to cultivate connection, so that I can see the world that I want to see, so that I can create the kingdom of heaven here on earth. I put my hand on my heart because I think of my queer brothers and sisters who are killing themselves at a 5 times higher rate because they're taught in churches that they are bad. And so I tell my story in order to help other people feel like there are other options, like they are good and they are needed and necessary elements in this world. And my heart beats for them. I want to close with one more quote by Brené Brown. Sharing our gifts and our talents with the world is the most powerful source of connection with all that is good, with all that is right, with all that is holy, with all that is godly. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes with me. Dear Heavenly Creator, we are right to desire. We are right to want to please you. We are right to note the thoughts that are holding us back so we can let them go and be in alignment with meaningful work, with godly praise. We pray that you help us to let go of old beliefs that are holding us back that do not come from you. We ask you to continue to remind us why we are here. We ask that you give us courage to desire and to be in alignment with all that is good and with our purpose. And in your name we pray. Amen.
God of your promise, spoken the name, no syllable empty or void. Spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. The grave behind, and so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. So will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. And if the ocean throw your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. Oh, if the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. Oh, if the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. Oh, for if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. And if the send it, so will I. Oh, if the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. Oh, if the sum of all our praises fall or shy, oh, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. Salvation, you chased my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I can find it here. If you left the grave behind, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. You gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times.
But when measure could amount to your desire, you're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Amen. So what a blessing it has been to be a part of this Gifts of Imperfection sermon series. This series is based on the same titled book by the best-selling author, Dr. Brené Brown. And it has been focusing, and we have been focusing, on the power of wholehearted living to release the feelings and those definitions that we have of an imperfect life. And rather, we are to engage with this world from a place of worthiness. So I want to give a thanks out to Eric Feltes and Jace Lucas and Ryan Jordan and Shauna Carroll and Rev Jefferson Beaker, because they have done a great job in providing perspectives during the sermon series this month as we have been focusing on these guides of wholehearted living as laid out by Brené. And so thank you. Thank you very much. I'm now going to bring it home with the 10th guidepost called Laugh, Sing, and Dance. So, reflecting on this portion of this morning's message, I thought about Jesus. Now, that's a good place to start whenever I'm doing a sermon, right? Think about Jesus. So, I'm thinking about Jesus and I'm pondering, what are those first images that come to mind when I think of Jesus? And you know, he's serious. He's always so serious. And so there's Jesus, and he's in this place of being solemn. And he's always in check. And on occasion, let's throw in some righteous anger, right? But then I was thinking about it. You know, this, as and memory serves me right, as a child, I was thinking about this, that Jesus was always stern. You know, he has the finger pointing. And it's like, gosh, he's finger wagging me. And he's saying, Mark, have you been a good boy? Have you been a good boy? And so, and I'm thinking to myself as I'm reflecting on this, and I went, wow, what about on the flip side? You know, did Jesus ever cut a rug? Did Jesus ever cut it loose, let it go, have some fun, laugh, sing, and dance? And I mean, while we know he was divine, come on, Jesus was human too, right? So, I'm looking at the Bible, but there's no verse in there that says Jesus laughed. However, he did say in the Beatitudes, and this is in Luke 6, 21, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. All right? But we also don't see in the Bible where Jesus sang. We don't see where he danced. Yet he does tell parables. He does tell these parables, and some of those parables, they end in rejoicing. Right? Joy. So we got like the parable of the prodigal son. Lots of partying going on. Lots of joy. What about that wedding? What about that wedding that was in John 2 verses 1 through 12? Here's where Jesus turned water into wine. And why did he do that? To prolong the party. Jesus loves a party. Right? And of course, what does one do at a party? Laugh, sing, and dance. Yes. So, by the way, I want to point out that there is this verse. I found this verse. It's in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament, book of Zephaniah, and it's chapter 3, verse 17. And this verse describes our Lord, our God. And I love this verse, and it states, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Now, just so you know, the Hebrew word for rejoice over is gehel, and that means spinning around with exuberant joy as in a dance. Amen? Yeah? Hello, there's God dancing, singing. So when today's scripture reading from Philippians 4, verse 4, it says, be glad in the Lord always. I'm telling you again, be glad, exclamation point. This means for us to be glad in a variety of ways. And that also includes laughing, singing, and dancing. And these three do is they're interconnected. They're not separated, but they're interconnected, and they provide this vibrant, marvelous connection for us between the language of faith. I want you to get that. Interconnected between the language of faith and our daily experience. Did you ever think about that? Laughing and singing and dancing is an expression of the language of our faith? Now, sharing what Brené, she writes in this book, and again, here's The Gifts of Imperfection, and I talked with someone this week, and they bought the book already. I wanted to read this one section in here that she writes, and she says, throughout human history, and by the way, see, here's my purpose card, Eric. So, throughout human history, we've relied on laughter, song, and dance to express ourselves, to communicate our stories and emotions, to celebrate and mourn, and to nurture community. While most people would tell you that a life without laughter, music, and dance would be unbearable, it's easy to take these experiences for granted. Working off of these experiences we take for granted, I want to ask you just a few questions just to reflect upon at this moment. And so let's first start off with laughter. I want you to think about laughing. Do you value laughing? Do you value laughing? Why is that? Why do you value laughing? And what about those individuals that make you laugh, like Shauna Carroll, right? Do you value those individuals? Now, I'm not saying laughing at them, but laughing with them. Let's go to singing. How about singing? Now, I'm not just talking about, you know, the opera singing and, you know, worship band. I mean, they've got it going on with their gifts. I'm talking about sing to the top of your lungs. I mean, sing to the top of your lungs and just letting it loose, going out there. I don't give a care. And you're in the shower, you're in the car, you're just letting it loose. Do you value that kind of singing? Do you do that? Did anybody in here do that? I'm just curious. Oh, yeah, a few hands. All right, okay, yeah. And so that I don't care kind of singing, I want you to think about that is what kind of songs inspire you to do that? What kind of songs inspire you to do that? Honestly, the worship band with Gaddison and them, sometimes during the week, I'll be singing the songs that they sang in the car, just letting it loose, having fun. Now, go to dance. Let's go to this last one. Does anyone in here like to dance? Now, rather, maybe, there we go. Devin's raising her hand up there for Aurelia, I'm sure. And so, do you like to dance? Here's what I'm going to say. Are you willing to dance? Are you willing to dance with absolute total freedom, total freedom, just letting it go like no one is watching, just cutting it loose. Now, I want you to think about it, that the key emotion that connects all three of these aspects, these forms of expression, is the feeling of joy. That is a key component right there, is the feeling of joy. But let's not overlook that there's other emotions that also emerge from these forms of expression. I'm talking about when you're down, when you're sad, when you're lonely, or when you're in love, or going to the opposite end when you're having a breakup. Or also, what about when you're feeling confident, got the confidence going on? Or the other idea of the opposite end is when you're having doubts. There's loads of emotions that feed into these forms of expression beyond just joy. Now, it's risky. Yeah, it's risky laughing and singing and dancing when we're in public. Yeah, it's one thing for us to be by ourselves in the shower or in the car, but when we're in public, that's when we start risking vulnerability. Maybe not so much with laughing, sometimes with singing, but when it comes to dancing, that's full body vulnerability. Full body vulnerability right there. Now, you got to hand it to us. You got to hand it to us when we're kids. I see Aurelia over here. She is such a doll. I love her so much. So I'm thinking of her, but anybody when you were young, a young child, and young children. So parents, you're going to get this. Anybody watching on this? As children, we're instinctively drawn to music. I think it's in our DNA that we're instinctively drawn to music. And so we get that thing and we start dancing and we start singing without restraint. Kids do this, and they'll even dance naked. They let it go. I've been there, done that as a child, okay? But always with joy, always with joy. Yet here we go, and we reach this certain age where we become self-conscious. There's a point when we become self-conscious. There's that little voice going on, and we start becoming concerned about what other people are going to say about us, that maybe we aren't good enough, that we aren't worthy. And anything popping in your head around that? So, and this is when we shift. That shift of thinking goes into something that's more performance-based, shame-based, than it is about doing something that's just giving us loads of pleasure. This fun. Now, in these instances, we might shift into what I call the persona of being Joe Cool, or trying to be chill like Snoop Dogg. Because who wants to be perceived as awkward? Who wants to be perceived as goofy or stupid or foolish or any other negative fear factors that might just arise in your head? Because instead, what we're going to do is we're going to choose to be calm, cool, and collected. Why? Because here's where we can control exactly what other people are going to think. Because that's when we're going to feel good enough. Friends, every time, straight up, telling you honestly, every time I have put on a mask of perfection, because this is the mask of perfection, so that I come across strong, polished, perfect, I fail because I'm not authentic. I fail because I'm not authentic. Because I'm wearing that mask of perfection, and what it's doing, that it's not allowing me to connect with others as God wants. It's not letting my true self being shown and being seen as God wants. Doing that, it really robs me. It robs me of some really awesome life experiences. It robs me of tremendous benefits of laughter and song and dance. It robs me of being free. It robs me of being free, while also on that same line, it robs me because I don't tolerate the same for others. It's not just about me. I'm not tolerating that in other folks. And it robs me of connecting with you and others so that I don't feel alone. What are some benefits? What are some benefits of laughing, singing, and dancing? There's a whole myriad, but these are just a few that I wanted to point out, that it's stress-reducing. Stress-reducing because it produces endorphins. It actually is a mood shifter, that it can help boost our mood while helping fight depression. It strengthens the immune system. It increases general fitness and burns calories, makes a healthier you, and also improves the health of your lungs. And with all three of these forms of expression, there are benefit crossovers. It's not just stress reducing is only for laughing. No, it's all of them together, crossovers. And the positive impact is made on us. It's made on for our overall well-being, which is emotionally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The Hopi Indians have this saying. I love this saying: to watch us dance is to hear our hearts speak. To watch us dance is to hear our hearts speak. Faith community, it takes courage. Yeah, it does. It takes courage to let people hear our hearts speak. I think that's been the overall theme for this entire month right there. It says it. Courage to let our hearts speak, but life is too precious for us to be pretending. Stop pretending that we're Joe Cool and totally in control when we can be laughing, singing, and dancing. ultimately, the big question, this is the big question right here. Sum it up right here. What is the greater risk? What is the greater risk? Letting go of what people think or letting go of how I feel, what I believe, and who I am. I'm going to turn that around before I get into this. Is what is the greater risk? Letting go of what people think or letting go of how you feel, what you believe, and who you are. So throwing caution to the wind, here we go. This is going to be fun, I hope. So this week I came across this book, Dancing with Jesus. I thought of Shauna. Dancing with Jesus, featuring a host of miraculous moves. And there, look at Jesus just dancing, man. He's just getting with it. And I thought, Pastor Mark, why don't you move and groove with harmony this Sunday? And I also thought to myself going, well, if I do that, why would I move and groove alone? That just seems silly. Let's have some fun. So I asked Eric. I texted Eric and I said, hey, Eric, would you be willing to join me in some fun? And Eric, of course, says, sure, what's going on? Well, it's a surprise.
Because I haven't learned how to set boundaries with my pastor. Say yes to yourself.
So Eric and I are going to center on laughing, singing, and dancing. Shouldn't we do something together, right? So with what Eric and I are about to do is called the water walk. The water walk. Making waves without making a splash. So the inspiration comes from Matthew, and there's Jace already giving me the look. The inspiration comes from Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. And in that scripture, here's the apostles. They get in a boat. They're going over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they're over there to meet Jesus. And suddenly there's these waves, and it starts to swamp them, and they're getting all panicky. And Jesus gets on the Sea of Galilee. He starts to walk on the water, and he's coming over to see them. And then there's Peter. And he's all excited. He sees Jesus. He's like, woo, there's Jesus. I'm getting out of the boat. I'm going to walk on water too. And as he gets out, then suddenly he gets all frightened and he starts sinking. And what does Jesus do? He goes over to save him, doesn't he? So now Eric and I, as he's hiding, we're going to follow the master moves. And Shauna is coming forward as she has graciously said that she'll read the dance instructions for Eric and me. So Eric, here we go.
Can I just say, you guys know when you see a photo and you can hear the photo? This is what you would be hearing in that photo. I will never think of Jesus walking on water the same again.
Excellent. So Eric, are you ready?
I don't even know what we're doing.
Excellent, neither do I, but Shauna's gonna tell us. Okay. So here we go. All right, Shauna, here we go.
All right, under the B, six. No, that's the wrong thing. That's the wrong church function. Okay. stand with your feet apart, knees slightly bent. It's good. No, you're good. Shift to your right leg and jut out your right hip. Yes. Now shift to your left leg and jut out your left hip. Now keep repeating. Repeat. Repeat. It's nice. All right. Now bend your arms and swing them in sync with your legs. You're doing it. Natural when your weight.
Yeah.
Yes. When you shift your weight to your right leg, your arms follow. And when you go to your left, your arms follow.
Are you hurting yourself?
Yes. All right. You got those basic moves down. You feeling good? Now it's time for the remix. All right. Yes. We're going to add some cool touches. Yes. So. Use your right hand to make a visor for your eyes and look around. Oh, yes. Where's the disciples' boat? Oh, there it is.
Oh.
Oh, hey.
Water.
Oh, look down at your feet. Oh, hey, Peter. Say, hey, Peter, hey. Oh, wait, he's drowning. He's drowning. Oh, no. Lean over and raise him up. Yeah, you should.
come on, Eric.
All right, hey, all right, cool. Yes, great job, guys. Now you've mastered the water walk.
Never coming back here again. I'm just kidding.
Oh, so thank you, Eric, for being such a good sport. And Ashana is our dance caller. Yay! See, I'm willing to poke fun at myself any point in time. So, Harmony, as we conclude this sermon series, The Gifts of Imperfection, wholehearted living is about engaging our lives from a place of worthiness. Amen?
Amen.
So it's about cultivating courage, it's about cultivating compassion, and it's about cultivating connection. There's this quote that I love that I want to share, and this is ending the message. And it's attributed to Mark Twain. And this is what it says. Dance like no one is watching. Love like you've never been hurt. Sing like nobody's listening. And live like it's heaven on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.